Last night, I explained D and G. And usual person stick to G. That is quite, you know, usual. And the characteristic of a Buddhist, Buddha's teaching is, you know, to go beyond things. Things means the various beings and various ideas we have. And we think. Even though we say truth, truth usually means something we figure out. We think that is truth. but this truth as something which we can figure out or think about is also G in Buddhism. When we go beyond subjective and objective world, which is G, we come to the understanding oneness of everything, oneness of subjectivity and objectivity, oneness of inside and outside. For instance, if you sit, doesn't you are not thinking anything, you are not watching anything. Your focus is, you know, 4 feet, 4 or 5 feet ahead. But actually, we are not watching anything. Just focus is there, but we don't watch anything. Even though many ideas come, we do not think, you know. It comes in and goes out, that's all. We do not entertain various ideas, you know. We do not serve food or anything, you know. If they come in, okay. And if they go out, okay. That's all. That is. When we are in that condition, in this kind of mind, when we have this kind of mind, our mind actually, you know, includes everything. Even though you do not try to include, you know, everything, actually, everything is in your mind. And another thing I must tell you is, we do not talk about, you know, things which have no relationship with ourselves, you know. We do not think, you know, we do not concerned about, we do not expect something. Which may exist, you know, beyond our reach. Whatever we talk about, you know, it is, you know, the moment we talk about, it is within our mind.
If we do not expect something, which may exist, you know, beyond our reach. Whatever we talk about, you know, it is, you know, the moment we talk about, it is within our mind. So everything, you know, all the thing is in our mind. But usually, you know, you think there's many things and we are thinking about this and this and this. In cosmic world, there may be many and many stars, but the stars we can, you know, reach it right now, only moon. In few years, we will reach some other stars. Well, eventually, we will reach to some other constellation. But, you know, we do not think in that way. We think our mind pervades everywhere. So our mind is, you know, not our mind. Our mind is something greater than the mind which we think is our mind. Now, this is a Buddhist thought. So, in Buddhism, mind and being are one, not different. So, there's no limit in a cosmic being, so is our mind. You know, our mind, there's no limit in our mind. Our mind will reach, you know, everywhere. And our mind and outward being is one. So if you think this is mind, you know, that is my mind. If you think this is some other being, that is very much so. But actually, when we say this, you know, when Buddhists say this or that or I, that I or this or that include everything. So we must, you know, listen to the sound of it, you know. The other day I explained what is sound. Sound is different from noise. Sound is, you know, something, you know, which comes out more real and which comes out from your practice is sound. Noise is more something more objective, you know, something, you know, which will bother you, you know. The noise is more objective being. The sound is both objective and subjective. So, you know, if you hit drum, the sound is you make is, you know, sound of your own subjective practice. And it is also the sound which encourages, you know, all of us. So, sound is subjective and objective. So, sound, you know, is, we say hibiki. Hibiki means, you know, something which goes back and forth, hibiki. Like echo, you know. If I say something, I will have feedback, you know, back and forth. That is sound. Buddhists understand everything, every noise as a sound which we make. You know, you may say the bird is singing there, over there. But we think, you know, bird when we hear the bird, bird is me, you know, already. Actually, I am not listening to bird. Bird is here, you know, in my mind already. And I am singing with bird. P-p-p. If you think when you are reading something, if you think bird is there, you know, blue jay is over my roof. Blue jay is singing, but their voice is not so good. No. When you think in that way, that is noise. You know. When you are not disturbed by the blue jay, you know, the blue jay will come right into your heart, and you will be a blue jay, and blue jay will reading something. Then the blue jay doesn't disturb your reading. Because you think blue jay is there. Blue jay should not be over my roof, you know. When you think in that way, that is more primitive understanding of being. Why we understand things in that way is because of our want of practice. You know. When you practice Zazen more, you can accept things as your own, whatever it is. You know. That is actually the teaching of, you know, famous teaching of Kengon, Jiji Muge. Jiji Muge means being has no, you know, no barrier, no disturbance. It, you know, interrelated closely. And it is difficult to say, this is bad and this is me, because it is interrelated very closely. So it is difficult to separate blue jay from me. That is Jiji Muge. And this Jiji Muge, or interdependency of being, is here we have ego. Ego. And here we have fuego. Who is, you know, ego is very special technical term of Buddhism, or Zen, ego. Go is, you know, not character, you know, going this way, you know. So interrelated, you know, two things, you know, two line, two, you know, figure is interrelated. You see, like this. And like this. This is go. A means to go round. Round and round and round. This is A. This part of the character is to to go around or to meet. And this path is to go also to go around. So this is a go. And who is not? Not ego. Not ego, although it is, you know, things are interrelated, you know. Or because things are closely interrelated, you know. Every being, each being can be a boss, you know. Because, you know, each one of us can be a boss because we are so closely related. No, if you say Suzuki, you know, I'm very much closely related to you, so I can represent, you know, Zen Center. So if I say Mel already is not just Mel. He is one of the Zen Center students. And to see Mel is to see Zen Center. If you see Mel, people understand what is Zen Center. you know. But if you think, oh, he is Mel, then your understanding is not good enough. You don't know who is Mel. So if you have good understanding of things, that, you know, things will, by things, you will understand whole world. So, it is, you know, because each one of us is the boss of whole world. So, not, if you understand this way, it is not, you know, interrelated. It is independent. We are independent. Each one of us, completely independent, absolutely independent. There's nothing to compare with you. You are you, just you. You see? We have to understand things from both ways. One is, you know, interrelated. To understand things, interrelated being. The other way of understanding is to understand ourselves quite independent from everything. You know, when we include everything, you know, we are completely independent because nothing to compare to you. Do you understand? If there's only one thing, how can you compare, you know, things to you? Because there's nothing to compare to you. This is, you know, this is absolute independency. In Chinese, fuego, not interrelated, but absolutely independent. And this first sentence, Mommon Issai no Kyo, this is a rhetorical, you know, words. Mommon means gates. Gates means our eyes or nose or ears. All those sense organs, five sense organs are gates. You know. And for the gates, there are sense objects. You know. For eyes, something color to see. For the ear, something to hear. Some voice to hear. Some smell to smell for the nose. Something to taste, you know, for the, our tongue. In this way, six sense organs have five sense organs have five sense objects. This is, our Buddhist common sense, you know. The purpose of, referring to this, to those things is just to say everything, instead of saying everything. We say Mommon Issainokyo. Mommon is gates. There's many gates, and to the gates there's many sense objects, All those things, all those things are interrelated. And at the same time, they are independent, Mommon Issainokyo. Flowers, and it is same thing to say flowers and trees and bird and stars, But instead of saying stream and mountain, we say Mommon Issainokyo. So various beings, which we see, which we hear, it's the things which is interrelated, and at the same time they are, each being is absolutely independent and its own value. I said value right now. That value means D. D. D is, something which makes something, meaningful is D, It is not theory or anything. This is rather difficult to understand, D. It may take time before you understand D. When you, even though you don't attain enlightenment, you have enlightenment, we say. That enlightenment means D. That something exists here means something, has already some reason why it exists here. And because of that reason, it makes sense, some sense. I don't know what sense. No one knows. But there must be some reason. And, everything must have some virtue for itself. And and it is, very strange that everything has, no things are same, One is different from other. There's nothing to compare, with you. So you have your own value. And that value, is not comparative value or exchange value. it is that value, something more than that. So, just when you are just on the cushion, you have your own value. And that value, because that value is related to everything, so that value is also absolute value. Maybe better not to say too much. Mommon issai no kyo. Mommon, sense gates, sense organs, and its objects. It means everything is related, interrelated. And on the other hand, it is absolute. Everything has absolute value for itself. And here again, este sarani ai wataru. E means here. You know, e is interrelationship or interrelated. So everything is interrelated and I wataru is going on and on. Hike, you know, on and on and on. You know, everywhere means wataru. Or, birds, comes from north in springtime, come to south and go back to the north, crossing various mountains and rivers and sometimes ocean. That is wataru. This is, water. This is walk. So, to cross many things, water and mountain, by foot or by boat. This is wataru. So, things, interrelated endlessly, going everywhere. And shikarazareba, or else, it stand, it dwell, or it stay in its own position. This is position. According to the position, this is rely on, or according to the position, they stay. So it means if the bird stay at some place, at some lake, for instance, his form is not only lake, but also whole world is his home. That is how a bird flies and lives in their world. So, things are interrelated. But on the other hand, they are stay in their own position. And they are independent. In Zen story, sometimes we say, Ninnin koko, Hekiryu banjin, each one of us is stiff like a cliff. No one can climb up on you. You are completely independent. So no one can climb up. You are like a stiff, you know, rock. No one climb up on you. Absolutely, you are absolutely independent. And that you are interrelated. This is right understanding. So you, when we say you are absolutely related, you know, rock, no one climb up on you. Absolutely, you are absolutely independent. And that you are interrelated. This is right understanding. So you, when we say you are absolutely related, you know, so, but when you hear me say so, you should understand, you know, the other side too. That is hibiki, you know. If you understand one side of the truth only, you don't hear the, you know, my voice. Hibiki, you know. We say, kotoba no hibiki. Kotoba no hibiki means the other side of the words. We say, if you do not understand, then words. There must be some. Yeah, I thought there was. You have some good words for that. If you do not understand, then colloquial, you know, you don't understand, then you are not Zen student. You know, we have our word is different from usual word. It has double meaning. We say double-edged sword. Double-edged. Edge is here, this side, and the other side too. It cut both ways. You know, you may say, you know, you may think I'm cutting this way, but, you know, actually, I'm cutting something that way. You think you are, I'm cutting something here, but actually I'm cutting here, you know, something here. Do you understand? If you, sometimes I'm scolding my disciple. No! But the other student may think, oh, he's scolding. But it is not actually so. Because I cannot, you know, scold people from outside. So I have to scold my student who is near me, you know. What? But most people think, oh, he's poor guy, he's scolded. Oh. If you think in that way, you know, he is not. You are not Zen student. If one is scolded, you should listen to him, you know. You should be alert enough to know who is scolded. we have always, we are trained in that way. When I was quite young disciple, we went out and came back pretty late. There are many, you know, venomous small snakes, like rattlesnake in Japan too. And my teacher said, you are wearing tabi, so you should go ahead. I'm not wearing tabi, so I may be bit by and snake will bite me, so you go ahead, he said. And okay. And we walked ahead of him. And when we reached, as soon as we reached to the temple, he said to us, "You, all of you must sit here. Sit here." We didn't know what is happening, what has happened. But we all sit in front of him. What a silly guy you are, he said. When I'm not wearing tabi, you know, why, you know, you are wearing tabi? It is not fair. Moreover, you know, I am your teacher. So it is all right with me to wear tabi when you don't wear tabi. But, you know. So he said, give some warning to you. I am not wearing tabi. If I say so, you should notice. We disciples should not wear tabi because my teacher is not wearing tabi. So if you put off, you know, you should put off your tabi. But you know, without any idea of that, you go, you walk ahead of us. What a silly boy you are. Just what he said, that's all. But we should, you know, realize something more than he said. When I was at a age, I opened, you know, right side door, Fusuma, Shoji. Because it is a kind of rule to open this side. But I was scolded, you know. Don't open that side, he said. So next morning, I opened this side. I was scolded again. Why do you open that way, that side? I didn't know what to do. Yesterday, when I opened this side, he scolded me. So I opened this side, and I was scolded again. I couldn't figure out why. And I, at last I noticed that. Yesterday, the guest was this side. And this morning, guest was the other side. So I opened, you know, where there is the side where the guest was. And this morning, again, I opened where I opened the side where guest was is. You know, that is why I was scolded. And they never tell us why, but just scold us. It is, you know, the words they use is double-edged. Those are also double-edged words. This is interdependency. This is absolute dependency. This sentence is interdependency, and this side is absolute independence. So every thing which we hear, which we see, is interdependent and absolutely independent. And each thing, this interdependency goes on and on to everywhere. And yet, things are situated in its own place. Things stay in its own place. That is the main point of Sandokai. Mommong isai no kyo. Mommong is sense gates. Isai no kyo. Isai means all, each or all. Each kyo means objective world. Our sense, our five senses, and its objective world. It's independent. It's interdependent and independent. And this interdependency goes everywhere. And each thing stays its own place. This is, you know, what it means. The great mind of the great sage in India from and seeing from east to west. There are Pharaoh and Dar. Pharaoh in sentient being, but there is no patriarch of south or north. Ninkon ni ridon ari. Ninkon is, you know, nin is man, kon is root. Root means, you know, sense organs. So sense organ, human being which has sense organs. Yes, someone is alert, someone is not so alert. But there's no patriarch of south or north. Buddha's teaching is same. Legen myoni koketari. Legen is source of the teaching is pure and stainless. But its stream is the source, you know, pervades everywhere. Ruchu is to flow, chu is pour, like water pour into various places. And the regen, the source of the teaching, is not, you know, so clear to us, because the source of the teaching is not the teaching of right or wrong, or this or that. To stick to things is delusion. And yet, to recognize truth is not always, is not enlightenment also. Jiwo shiusuru mo moto kore mayoi. Ji is being, or fact, or event. To stick to event, or fact, or things are delusion. Mayoi is delusion. Ri is, you know, Ri is Ri. To recognize, Ri is not enlightenment also. Mommon issai no kyo. Mommon means various being. And it's various sense organs and its objects. So it means everything. Ego to fuego to. Ego is interdependency. Fuego is dependency. Este sarani aivata. This interdependency goes on and on. And everything stays its own place. This is independence. Okay, do you have some questions? Hi.
You said that Regen Myoni Koketari, that means the source of the teaching is clear.
Mm-hmm.
Now, Shiha Anni Ruchusu, does that mean that the branches of the stream of the source of the teaching flow in the darkness? What does that
mean? An,
how does it fit?
Okay. An, you know, an means, I must explain and more later, but right now you can understand in this way. The source, you know, stream of the source or maybe like a spring, you know, pure spring. Well, you know, as it flows down, like Tassahara Creek, or, you know, it will vanish into somewhere, fade into somewhere. But it does not mean source water vanished or anything. Water may be everywhere, moistened all over. An means, you know, and darkness. Darkness means the opposite of brightness. In bright light like this, you can count your hair even. If it is dark, you know, you cannot see anything. But even though you don't see anything, it does not mean no one is here. No one is here. You know, all of us is here. All of us are here, but it is only because it is dark. So, you know, Reigen, the pure source of the teaching, is always there. But sometimes we can see it, and sometimes we don't see it. When we see it, you know, it means that we count everything. It is G. When we don't see it, it is G, you know.
Is Reigen Ri and Shiha G? Is Reigen Ri and Shiha G?
Yeah, Shiha is G.
Ego means the bird is the whole world. Ego means the bird is just the bird.
Bird is just bird. Ski, you know, in Prajna Paramita, Vrijaya Sutra, we say, Ski soku zeku, ku soku zeski, you know. That is, shiki soku zeku, ku soku zeski is ego. And shiki, zeshiki, ku soku, ku is fuego. This is fuego. You cannot say, you know, it is difficult to say what it is. Hey. When? Yeah, mum. To hit bell? To hit bell means to produce, you know, independent Buddha, one after another. Gone, Buddha. One independent Buddha appear. Gone, next Buddha appear. When next Buddha appears, No, the Buddha, you know, last Buddha disappear. So each one by one, striking one after another, you produce, you know, Buddha one after another. That is our practice.
You said that it's like a cliff. One side is like a cliff. And the other side is that everything's interdependent. The reason why we're each of us is a cliff is because we die. And we never know each other because of this cliff. Because as people we just die.
A cliff, yeah, it means, you know, it is just power, you know. It doesn't mean anything, you know, special. No. To cut off, you know, various entanglement in one word. when you do so, you are actually independent, and at the same time you are closely related. This is, you know, very interesting. Usually, you know, when you become independent, you know, you are independent, and you have not much, you are not, usually you are not supported by people. But if you really independent, you know, then people may support you. So, you know, to be independent from everyone means to be supported by everyone, to be related to everyone, closely related to everyone. When you are closely related to everyone, you are independent. So to be independent and to be independent means same thing, you know. So if you really involved in your everyday activity, you are independent. If you really follow our schedule, you are independent. Because you think, it's too much, you know. Maybe so far as I'm here, I will observe the rules, but really I don't want to do it, but it can't be helped, you know. If you feel in that way, you know, you are not independent. And sometimes you may think, I must have freedom from everything. I must have my own way, you know. But that your own way is not related. If your own way is not related to anyone, it doesn't mean anything, you know. When your way is related to everyone's way, you know, and when you have confidence in your activity, then you are independent. But, you know, dependent on various people. You are supported by various people. Do you understand?
Dr. Harrod, sometimes we try as a community to be independent. Is this Buddha's way?
Independent?
How? Not to depend on other people for food, or for clothing, or for our needs. Is this Buddha's way?
Independent from what?
To be independent from the community, the larger community.
No, that is not possible. It's a dream. Daydream. That kind of, you know, independence doesn't mean anything. You will be lost, you know, if you stick to that kind of idea. Because that is, you know, very primitive, you know, naive understanding of a human being. You know, Ni, this is human being, you know, supported, you know, with each other. This is a Chinese character. This is human being.
That one,
we are originally like this, you know. If this is man, you know. Oh, I'm strong enough, you know, so I don't need my wife. Your wife may say, you know, I'm already supporting you. Without me, you cannot live. sometimes you should take care of yourself. So for 1 week, I will make trip. Then 1 minute. It is not so, you know, it is not so agreeable to be like this always, supporting, you know, your husband, always. You may feel in that way, but that is, you know, her nature. So if without this something to support, you know, wife cannot take this. That is human being. And I think that is very true. But when you are like this, you know, both are independent. This is independent, and this is independent, and this is two.
Is that what Buddhist practice is today? Is that what
the
Buddhist
way? Yeah, that is Buddhist way. Our practice, you know, is not always one-sided.
The beginning of the lecture, given on June 3rd,
last night, I explained D and G. And usual person stick to G. That is quite, you know, usual. And the characteristic of a Buddhist, Buddha teaching is,
you know, and when you have confidence in your activity, then you are independent. But, you know, dependent on various people. You are supported by various people. Do you understand?
Dr. Haro, sometimes we try as a community to be independent. Is this Buddha's way?
Independent?
How? Not to depend on other people for food, or for clothing, or for one's needs. Is this Buddha's way?
Independent from what?
To be independent from the community, the larger community.
No, that is not possible. It is a dream, daydream. That kind of, you know, independence doesn't mean anything. You will be lost, you know, if you stick to that kind of idea. Because that is, you know, very primitive, you know, naive understanding of a human being. You know, Nin, this is human being, you know, supported, you know, with each other. This is a Chinese character. This is human being.
Is that what they do?
We are originally like this, you know. If this is man, you know, I'm strong enough, you know, so I don't need my wife. Your wife may say, you know, I'm always supporting you, you know. Without me, you cannot live. Sometimes you should take care of yourself. So for 1 week, I will make trip. Then 1 minute. It is not so, you know, it is not so agreeable to be like this always, supporting, you know, your husband, always. You may feel in that way, but that is, you know, her nature. So if without this something to support, you know, wife cannot exist. That is human being. And I think that is very true. But when you are like this, you know, both are independent. This is independent and this is independent and this is two.
Is that what Buddhist practice was today? Is that part of Buddhist way?
Yeah, that is Buddhist way. Our practice, you know, is not always one-sided practice, you know. Middle way means, you know, not between two extremes, is not middle way. To be quite independent and dependent is middle way. No, middle way, if I say middle way, you may understand, this is middle way. It is not so actually. To be like this is middle way, you know. To be myself is my middle way. So that I can be just myself, you know. I must support someone, you know. And at the same time, I must be supported by various people. That is why I can be like this, you know. I can be independent.
Roshi, today someone's saying or thinking, no students, no teacher,
mm-hmm.
no students.
Mm-hmm.
That the two, somebody was saying, well, what makes the Roshi?
Mm-hmm.
And someone else said, because he has students.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
You can't be the Roshi without the students.
Yeah.
The students can't be students without the Roshi.
Uh-huh.
So they're both independent, but both...
Yes.
Together.
Yeah, together. Without student, no teacher. Yeah. So that is very true, you know. And student encourage teacher. It is very much so. If I have, you know, I know that if I have no student, I may goof off every day. Because I have so many students watching me, you know. I must be doing something. I must study so that I can give you some lecture, you know. If there is no lecture, I will not study. But at the same time, you know, I shall be very much ashamed of myself if I, you know, study just to give lecture, you know. That is very, you know, very, you know. The study is just for myself, should be. So usually, when I start to prepare for my lecture, I always go to another direction, leaving something to study aside. Oh, this is interesting. And, you know, most of the time I don't study for the lecture. But still, you know, if I don't study, I don't feel so good. Because, you know, I feel I have to prepare for the lecture. I start to study. But as soon as I start to study, I start my own study. Not for giving lecture. And in this way, you know, things is going on and on, endlessly. And it is good, you know. Someday, what I studied will help a student. I don't know when. Just to feel good, we study. And just to feel better, we practice, doesn't it? No one knows, you know, what will happen to us after sitting, you know, 1, 2, or 10 years. No one knows. No one knows is right. Just to feel good, we sit, doesn't it, actually. Eventually, that kind of practice, you know, a practice of purposeless practice, eventually help you in its true sense. Just to feel good with sit-zazen, actually. Eventually, that kind of practice, you know, a practice of purposeless practice, eventually help you in its true sense.